This is Sam Sebrin from Athens, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
The deadline for replying to the 2020 census is approaching. If you have not already submitted your responses, there's still time. It's quick and easy to do, and you can respond online. Libraries offer public computers and free internet access to help make sure you are counted. Make certain you count everyone living in your home, including newborns and young children. It's safe and secure. The U.S. Census Bureau keeps your answers confidential. The information you provide will have a direct impact on funding for libraries, schools, public transportation, Head Start, housing assistance, and more. 2020census.gov.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Food New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
There's no debating it. Trump encourages violent white supremacists. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast.
Proud Boys, stand back and stand by.
Stand back and stand by. Yes, those are the words of President Donald Trump that he declared at his first presidential debate with Joe Biden. Trump had just been asked by Fox News moderator Chris Wallace to denounce white supremacists. With his answer, Trump issued a clarion call to the Proud Boys, a growing right-wing extremist group of Trump loyalists formed in 2016, openly promoting political violence. One clear takeaway from the debate: Trump is desperate to sow division in the country and distrust of the electoral system, and is eagerly recruiting violent vigilantes to help. Prominent Proud Boy Joe Biggs wrote on social media, "Trump basically said to go F them up. This makes me so happy," he said.
It's very crystal clear to me what President Trump was calling for last night. And it's, I think, crystal clear to the Proud Boys what he was asking for. And that was for continued pressure, continued violence against what he is calling the threat of the left.
That's Christian Piccolini speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour. He's a former skinhead neo-Nazi. He co-founded Free Radicals Project to prevent global extremism.
There is no threat from the left, because if we look historically, you know, just over the last 25 years and the number that you've quoted, far-right extremists, everything from neo-Nazis to white supremacists to white nationalists, are responsible for nearly 100% of the violence, 100% of the death, and 100% of the fear and rhetoric and propaganda that is inducing this type of violence.
Two recent reports from the Center for Strategic and International Studies indicate that between 1994 and 2020, right-wing extremists killed 335 people in the United States, mostly people of color. Trump claimed during the debate,
"Almost everything I see is from the left wing, not from the right. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left."
Antifa, short for anti-fascist, is a movement with its roots in 20th century European anti-fascist struggles. This isn't Trump's first embrace of violent right-wing extremists. He suggested the white teenage vigilante who shot dead two Black Lives Matter protesters in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was acting in self-defense. He defended the Unite the Right rally, neo-Nazis, Ku Klux Klan members, and Proud Boys who massed in Charlottesville, Virginia, in August 2017, calling them
very fine people.
This was just 3 days after neo-Nazi James Fields Jr. drove his car into a crowd of anti-racist counter-protesters, killing Heather Heyer and injuring 19 others. This week, The Nation reported on a leaked internal memo from the FBI's Dallas field office that predicts increased potential for violence from the anti-government Boogaloo movement members with a, quote, propensity toward violence and acquiring weapons that cause mass casualties used by a small number of attackers, unquote. Last May, Federal Protective Services officer David Patrick Underwood was shot and killed during anti-racism protests in Oakland, California. The primary suspect in the killing? Stephen Carrillo, an active-duty Air Force sergeant and Boogaloo member. Vice President Pence invoked Underwood's memory at his address to the Republican National Convention, blaming the protests. He neglected to mention that it was a right-wing extremist who killed Underwood. Just 2 weeks ago, at a rally in Bemidji, Minnesota, Trump blew his racist dog whistle again, telling the nearly all-white crowd,
"You have good genes, you know that, right? You have good genes. A lot of it's about the genes, isn't it? Don't you believe? The racehorse theory, you think we're so different? You have good genes in Minnesota."
Jewish Community Action's Karen Mraz likened Trump's remarks to the race science used by Nazis to justify the extermination of so many of our ancestors, unquote. President Trump doesn't hide that he's an aspiring autocrat, boasting he'll be president for 12 more years.
12 more years.
Trump has urged followers to poll watch at polling places on Election Day in predominantly Democratic precincts, which would clearly intimidate and discourage voters. He's threatened to deploy armed police, sheriff's deputies, and even the military to what he calls guard polling places. His son, Donald Trump Jr., tweeted a video calling for, quote, every able-bodied man and woman to join the army for Trump's election security operation. We need you to help us watch them, Donald Trump Jr. said. And in the midst of the deadly COVID-19 pandemic, which has disproportionately devastated communities of color, Trump has been waging an unprecedented campaign to discredit the popular and now life-saving practice of voting by mail. More Democrats than ever are predicted to vote by mail, while Republicans who believe Trump minimizing the pandemic and mocking the use of masks and social distancing are expected to prefer voting in person. Trump himself and members of his family vote by mail. 100 years ago, Benito Mussolini in Italy recruited young men to join his squadrismo, a volunteer force known as the Black Shirts that terrorized and killed his opponents. Hitler formed the Brown Shirts, who brutally beat and murdered his foes. Neither dictator could have seized power without these armies of loyal paramilitary thugs. When Donald Trump urges groups like the Proud Boys to stand back and stand by, we need to take him seriously. We need to draw the line. Not here, not now, not ever. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast.
In accordance with the authority vested in me, I hereby declare a emergency to exist.
The September 30th deadline for replying to the 2020 census is approaching. If you have not already submitted your responses, there is still time. It's quick and easy and can be done online at 2020census.gov. Libraries offer public computers and free internet access to help make sure you are counted. Make certain you count everyone living in your home, including newborns and young children. It's safe and secure. The U.S. Census Bureau keeps your answers confidential. The information you provide will have a direct impact on funding for libraries, schools, public transportation, Head Start, housing assistance, and more. 2020census.gov. Please reply by September 30th.
Hello, you wonderful people. It's your host, and this week I'm bringing to you the fourth, fifth around that area podcast of FDC. And today I'll be speaking on polls that I've posted on my Snapchat social media about students' experiences during school. But first, I want to, like I said, promised last time, I want to excuse my absence from last week's podcast. I did injure myself, but it's better now. Don't worry about me. So I promised, I said, every week I'm going to give you an update on how I'm doing. So, school now, at first I was managing in the work. I still am managing in the work, but am I saying that right? Hold on. Managing, there we go. I'm managing the work now, or I was at first. I still am, kind of, but it's getting hard too, because the workload, it keeps building up. Like, as soon as I think it can get any worse, it just gets worse, and the work is just too much. And you'll hear that from a lot of students later as well, from their comments that they've posted. My grades are okay. They're not bad or anything. They're okay. I like them where they're at. My chemistry can be butt up a little more, but like I said, we're kind of teaching ourselves chemistry, so it's whatever, I guess. But enough of me. I know y'all want to hear about the other responses. So there, I posted a poll. The question was to rate schooling during Corona from a 1 out of 10, and I got 50 responses out of that. So I have Phoebe here on Skype with me. You want to stay with it?
hey, here I am. How's it going?
So yeah, it was a 1 out of 10. One being terrible, 10 being amazing, and there were some ones here and there. Some fours, fives, 1.10, some 1.8.5. But Phoebe has the general estimate, like the percentage out of 10.
Yeah, I did the average. I did some math.
Yeah, the average.
I got my math, high skill math on. I added those numbers up and I divided by our 17 responses that were specific to that. And it was like 4.5. It was in the middle, like a little more than 4, but less. It's below. It's on the terrible side of the spectrum.
Yeah, it's on a terrible side. And I wasn't expecting it not to be, because me as a student, you know, I'm going through the same thing. So I was like, it's going to be more on the terrible side. And I was right, because, you know, a lot of the students are under stress right now, and the workload that's being given to them, and the expectations are a little too high. And we're like, we're only in the first month. Like, it's just reached October. So I also posted another poll, which has gotten 22 responses to school during Corona, but it was like a long response poll. So instead of just a number, students will get more in the depth of why they aren't liking school too much, or why they are. I don't think I got any positive feedback from that. They were all negative. Once again, like I expected. Because, you know, like I said, the stress, expectations is too much. So pretty sure I'm just going to read them off to you guys. This one here says, well, first I should probably read what I actually said. I said, what do you hate the most with online schooling or school during Corona? And this response said, the ridiculous amount of homework they give. So we have to sit at our desks even longer past the school day hours. And I relate to that. The amount of work is ridiculous. And we're like up like 2 hours to 4 hours or 5, depending who you are, doing schoolwork after school. So we already have to get up and spend 7 hours at school. But let's just say it takes 3 hours in general to do homework. It's probably more or less, it wavers per person, but let's just say 3 hours, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 hours you're doing on schoolwork out of the day, out of the 24 hours of your day. That's kind of ridiculous. What's your thoughts on that, Phoebe?
Yeah, I have a headache literally thinking about it. And somebody, a comment that stood out to me in this, that somebody wrote, which is, looking at a computer screen all day gives me such a bad headache. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the wear of just being on a computer screen that long, it feels like it was kind of taken for granted. It's like, of course kids can just be on a computer screen all day, but like, nah, that's hard. So it's like, what, you know, homework may not have seemed like so bad because in school you're doing other active stuff. You're walking around, you're in a physical classroom, but just to do that number of straight hours by yourself trying to learn, that's more than that's expected of a full-time job, you know?
Like this 1 week, I had 2 projects due, 2 essays. I have an essay due tomorrow, actually. Just so much stuff, like, and then more homework on top of that, and they're like, study, like, study this, and you won't have a problem tomorrow. Well, when you're giving us all this work and you have to study for each class, it's just not realistic, to be honest, especially for children. So I'm gonna read off the other responses, and instead of, like, I don't want to waste too much time, not that it's not important, but I don't want to waste too much time like reading each statement and then going over it, because that will take like hours. But I'll read them all for you guys now. It's the same question. This one said, waking up so early still. Mm-hmm. This one says, the amount of time they make us spend on a computer doing homework after we sit there all day for class. Mm-hmm. This one says, I hate that we can't have a music program. And yeah, the music program is important, and they can't have that right now online. And I can see how that's difficult, because a lot of students use that program as their safe space. Someone said, too much work. Someone said, I hate that the teachers expect us to do an ass load of work when there's so much shit going on in the world. It's literally just mesmerization at this point, no learning. And I'm going to stop real quick and discuss that one, because that is so true. That statement is literally just mesmerization at this point, no learning. That's so true. I'm sitting there doing my homework, you know, the crap ton of homework, and, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm writing stuff down. I'm not even trying to learn it. I'm just like trying to get a grade in, write it down, get a grade in. Like, I'm not getting time to soak any of the information up. So what do you think about that, Phoebe?
Yeah, I'm glad you stopped on this comment. It really stood out to me too. And like, yeah, the memorization, I've always been mad, honestly, about how much schools have focused on just having to like remember all this information. Like, you just don't. You don't. I feel like I graduated high school and I remembered like 10% of that stuff. But what stuck with me was like good problem solving skills or social skills or being good at writing. Like, there's like good core skills to learn. But when it's just memorizing facts to get through a test or quiz, like, that's not learning. And I get that, like, now that it's online, there's probably even more of that, because you can't do group projects and you can't do more creative things, maybe. Mm-hmm. And the other part that stood out to me from that comment was just acknowledging that, like, y'all also live in the world during COVID, you know, things are hard right now. People are struggling. Like, there's a lot going on. So I just appreciate this person's perspective of, like, you know, there's this expectation that we can just be at school all day doing all this work. Like, our lives aren't also more difficult because there's a global pandemic. So that stood out to me too.
Yeah, I hear you. Not gonna lie, I had to get up and charge my phone. It was on 1%, so we could have a podcast to do. But
well, same.
Yeah, I heard you though. Yeah, it's just like seeing all these students like replies, it just makes me upset, because like they're going through this like at home. And, like, they don't even know that the other students are going through it as well until, like, just the poll comes out and they see similar answers and stuff like that. Like, me, I thought I was the only one. Like, I mean, I knew other students, like, weren't liking it too much. But, like, I felt my thought process. I was, like, the only one, and I was complaining or being, like, ungrateful, whatever. But now these other responses are coming out. So I'm like, yeah, okay, they relate, too. They think what I'm thinking. So I'm like, okay.
yes, nice to have validation of your experience. And that the piece that you've emphasized is definitely come up here about just how much homework there is. Mm-hmm. And there's this other comment that really, like, I kind of laughed. He said, we're teaching ourselves more than the teacher does, and we have more work than we did before.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that's ridiculous. A bad review.
Oh my God. We literally, like, didn't I even tell you that we're basically teaching ourselves chemistry and stuff like that? So the fact someone else said that, I was like, wow, someone agrees with me. I thought I was the only one thinking that. I was like, so I'm not just crazy then. I'm not just being over dramatic. Like, and it is a lot more work than we would get in school. It's a lot more work. A lot.
I'm curious about why that is. Like, what's your theory on why there's more work?
They claim it's because they're running out of time, but didn't they start the school year around the same time they normally did?
Seems like it.
So that's like, what are you talking about? Stop using that as an excuse, because that's not true.
Like, what's the rush?
Yeah.
Like, is it testing deadlines? Like, what is it? Just they have to get everything in that they always used to.
And the fact that we're like in 11th grade and the colleges, I said this last week, the colleges are looking at us now. And it's like, one, we got all this work we have to do more than normal. And there are new regents. So what? All the regents are new.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the global and the English regents are new. The history regents and the English regents are new. I'm not too sure about the chemistry one. Pretty sure, though. But don't quote me on that one.
That's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's stressful, but, you know, I told them on my Snapchat, we're going to get through this. Don't give up. We got this. We're going to show them that we're not just going to quit.
I think it's really powerful that you've created this way to for four people to see each other's voices. Yeah. And, like, you know, like, I hope that more folks start tuning in or calling in about what their experiences are too. And, you know, in your introduction, you're like, I'm also here to advocate for people. And I think the more people's voices start to come together and like, oh, wow, yeah, nah, this is a consistent issue. This isn't just me.
Yeah.
It's not just my teacher.
It's not just like, this one
whole,
like,
system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like one rotten kid who complains about everything. Like, no, it's the whole school, the whole student body. Like, it's annoying.
And y'all are just getting started too. Like, what are those comments?
What's to come?
I hope you should keep doing this poll every so often, right? To be able to track also if things change. I'm curious.
Definitely.
I feel like beginning of school, you got like that new school like vibe flow, and then, you know, it could, so people are already feeling overburdened. And I think what you told me that really helped me understand better too is that there's like a backlog that happens. You fall behind on something, and then the next thing, it just keeps stacking on top, and it's almost impossible to get yourself out of that hole.
Yeah. That's actually starting to happen to me, but not too much so. So I'm like, no, that's not happening. No. So I'm going to stay up really late tonight. Like, well, I'm just going to bring this up real quick, because in case, like, I know I have a few people who are live right now. Maybe they're, like, hearing this. Like, I know how annoying it can be when, like, a parent says, you have to go to bed. Oh, you're working too late. Well, sorry, the school gives me so much work. I'm not gonna sacrifice a grade for some sleep. I'm sorry, that's not happening. I've had that conversations with many students. Like, we're not going to sacrifice good grades or a grade we have to hand in to make something late to get some sleep. Like, our sleep is not more important than our work now, and that's kind of ridiculous. Like, the school has made it like that. Also, they're always like, oh, don't worry about the work, just sleep. Well, if you hand in the work late because you give us so much, like a day late, you're going to give us points off. So you're going to give us a punishment, basically, for not doing our work that we're trying so hard to do. So obviously we're going to stay up late as late as we can to get all the work done. So
what is a late night for you?
12 o'clock at night, or in the morning, I mean. Sometimes one
and like
or
what
two.
Time you got to be up to start again the next day?
First period is 7:35.
Ooh.
So it's times I don't even go to bed till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
And then you got to go through another 7 hours of school the next day on 5 hours of sleep.
You see, that's the thing. Like, I feel like kids stay up so late. Like, besides the homework part, it's because they want time for themselves. Like, they spend all this time during school. They don't have no time for themselves. So they want to stay up late and have that time for themselves that they don't have.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. which is like a very healthy thing to do. You should be able to go blow some steam, socialize, because they keep it so, it seems like they keep it really strict that you can't really socialize with your peers in the school context online.
And I'm gonna, I'm gonna keep it real, like this stuff, like school, like right now is like kind of not good for me, because like little things are starting to get me very aggravated, but I don't like speak on them because like I'm used to like not sharing my emotions. So like today stuff went down, whatever, I'm not gonna go too deep into it, but like I don't know, maybe it's just a habit that I picked up, but like I was so mad about it. But like I don't get angry. I only get angry, like really angry, to the point where I'm talking, yelling at you, like probably once a year, if that, once every 2 years. Like literally, I do not get angry. But like now when I get like mad, like I'll stop being mad after like a minute. Probably because I train myself to like bury it down somewhere where I don't even acknowledge it anymore. I don't think that's healthy. So
find an outlet for that. Blow that steam off, because I've heard your stories about how your anger has shown up, how it's gotten you into some trouble, and like why you might choose to temper it. But like by the thing about it that I remember is that there's always something really righteous about your anger. Like something happened that really was like not okay, and that deserves anger in response. And I think the world is so full of things that like there's a real like anger feels valid and right, you know, in response to a lot of the injustice we see and experience in the world. So it's like important and healthy that you can blow that off and like feel like you can let it go. You know, maybe you need to do like a do like a special segment where you just do like the weekly rant and just let it out.
I mean, like, I probably should, because, like, I don't know, every time I talk about something, like, it doesn't, like, I don't get as, no, that's not that. It's like, I don't, like, it's like, I don't care about it anymore. Like, I know I'm still upset about it, but I don't care about it anymore. So when I talk about it, it doesn't help. So I'm like, what's happening there? Like, because, like, I don't
know. So, like, talking about it doesn't help? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like, maybe it's just something, like, I've grown a habit to, like, just pay stuff that gets you mad and no mind and just have it somewhere in the back of my head, then I forget about it. Maybe like that's why I don't get mad for like a year or whatever, and like after something happens that really like ticks me off, it just all comes out like, and then it's like, oh,
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy.
Like it gets me all out of character. It gets me all out of character. I'm like, now that got me out of character now. I do not act like this.
It's like the Purge, one day a year. Seven releases all of his pent-up rage on one unexpected bystander.
Oh, Lord. I feel bad for that person. Anywho.
But to bring it back. Do you feel like your experience, like it sounds like you were starting that out by saying like you've been noticing your frustration a little more elevated, more
like,
present.
Yeah, like now, even school going on, like at first it would be like, bigger stuff, like probably someone like doing something I didn't like really disrespectful. But now it's just small things, like if my brother, like for example, if he's I don't know, I make an example, like takes my stuff without asking, I'll get really annoyed, and then I'll just bury it down and sign up, blah blah blah, blah. Done with the small stuff. But like, yeah, that's not healthy, I don't think. But
I mean, you're noticing it, which is like the first healthy thing, because that gives you power and agency to do something about it. So, you know, first step, it's like seeing it and, you know, noticing it, like being gentle on yourself too, being like, oh, wow, okay, like I am more irritated. Is that because I'm pent up in the same room all day? You know, like give yourself a little space to like do some discovery about it too. Like, because our physical spaces impact our head spaces. And sometimes it's easy to just like kind of take it for granted and not think that much about it. But if you're all pent up in a room on a computer for hours and hours a day, I bet your irritation and frustration might get a little bit more flared. And that might be a moment where you're like, I'm gonna go take a walk for like 2 minutes, even just get some fresh air.
Like going back to the questions now, because we kind of it was like
the punchline is self care. Y'all do it.
But if y'all want to hear more rants, email me at schooldurincorona@gmail.com, schooldurincorona@gmail.com. You know, let me know, because I will do some. Okay, back to the questions. This person said, like Phoebe said earlier, looking at a computer screen all day gives me such a bad headache. Someone said that amount of work. Someone said learning virtually is a little frustrating. It's just hard to pay attention sometimes. Yep. Someone said connection issues. Can't turn off cameras, even though it makes the computers work faster. Yeah, some teachers don't allow students to turn off their cameras, even though it makes the computers run faster. Because their computers, I'm going to talk a little slower. I talk fast. I'm used to it in person. Their computers are not the best. Like, so if your camera's on or if the meet is open and you go into another tab, it just makes the computer go super slow and laggy, and it's horrible. And some teachers don't allow them to turn their cameras off, so how are they going to bypass that and get working on time? The next one is homework. We never have time to ourselves anymore, like I expressed earlier. Mm-hmm. This one says, having questions about an assignment and not having an answer right away. I know the teachers are trying their best, though. ... Yeah, like I expect that in like the first podcast or the second one or both. Yeah, like if you have a question, like after the class ends and the teacher can't answer it right away, it's kind of, it can get annoying.
This person acknowledges the teachers are trying.
Yeah, I say acknowledge that because they are trying.
There's just no way.
It's unfortunate. Where is it? Someone said, we're teaching ourselves more than the teacher does, and we have more work than now we didn't do it before. Yeah. Someone said, it never feels like enough. Felt that.
That one made me sad.
Yeah. I feel like some people got, deep because I said it's anonymous, so, no one's gonna know who you are, so. Because some people, don't speak out because they're scared of judgment and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Glad you did that. Yeah. And the whole point of this podcast, right, was to give students a voice at this moment. And, who knows down the road, how important it will be that you started this seed of, people even getting their voices together.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to have another student on next week that's actually on Skype if that happens. She's really down for it. If something changes, I told her it's fine. No pressure. I know stuff is, a lot is going on with school and stuff. Because I'm just I'm just holding on, so.
Yeah, I respect your commitment.
Someone said, effing hate online school. Can't wait to go back in October.
Well, speaking of going back in October, hybrid model for Catskill, right around the corner, right?
Yes, October 13th is the date. I'm trying to see if I want to do hybrid or not. I'm really contemplating. There's times where I'm I want to because this going on school is driving me crazy. But then there's times where I'm do I really want to? Because I'm going to end up regretting it and I don't even know. It's just the decision is just kind of eating at me in the back of my head every day. What do you want to do? It's coming up so fast. Choose one.
Yeah. What are some of your hopes and fears about going back? What makes you stop and think that might be a bad idea?
The confusion, having to walk there every day and walk back like I did before, but it's only for 2 days, so it's gonna be a nuisance. Seeing people I don't want to see. It being confusing there, trying to figure out the new normal inside of the building. So.
Yeah. You had some information right about what precautions Catskill's taking.
Hold on. I'm on the school website now, and it says here. The district is in the final stages of preparing for the phase two reopening of our schools. Phase two is scheduled to begin on Tuesday, October 13th, 2020. In phase two, selected students will begin the hybrid model with in-person instruction 2 days a week and 3 days virtually. while students who selected the virtual learning model will continue with 5 days of virtual instruction. The illustration, well, okay, yeah. If you want to see the illustration for the hybrid model and the remote model, you can go on the website, catskillscsd.org. Yeah, and then here it says, our staff has done an extraordinary job in preparing for the return of students. Department supervisors and building principals have facilitated walkthroughs to simulate a typical school day, arrival/dismissal procedures, hallway transitions, hour lunch program, transportation drop-off and pickup, parent drop-off and pickup, as well as special area class instruction were reviewed. Hallway directional signage, hand sanitizer machines, plexiglass desk guards, I found that pretty cool, and temperature scanning devices have been installed and are in the process of being installed. I am confident that we are prepared to receive students on Tuesday, October 30th, 2020. So that was pretty cool. Like, I was like, okay, so they're really serious about this. Like, Catskill, for me, I felt like I wouldn't imagine them being this serious about it. I was like, Catskill's going to be the last school that would do this. And here it is, I'm reading it. So, like, let's just hope everything went smoothly, you know, like, going through it, everything, like, seriously, as they mentioned in this.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that they took their time in and of itself is a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't rush to get everyone back in.
Yeah.
And I hope you get some voices of other people from other schools on to compare as you go back. Because mm-hmm. It really feels like there's a lot of difference from school to school mm-hmm. about what it looks like right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess my question is, like, do you trust your peers to, like,
yeah.
do what they need to do to keep everyone safe? How do you feel about that?
I know some kids who would be pretty complicit. Or am I saying that right? Non-compliant. Compliant.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to be those boys who are, like, taking a girl's mask off their face. Give me my mask back, Jacob. Oh, my God. Give me my mask back. You play too much. Stop. Give me my mask. And yeah, and there's gonna be the boys who like think they're funny and they're gonna call from people. Oh, I gotta catch you corona. Like, that's not funny. Get out my face. So I know there's gonna be a few of those people, but you know, let's hope the school disciplines them accordingly.
Uh-huh.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
Especially in these times. Here it says, this week, our principals are mailing letters home with key information regarding grouping. Our priority is to ensure that siblings/families are in the same group, which is smart. And the informational letters will specify which group, group A or group B, your child is assigned to in a hybrid model. So, yeah, I guess the groups, what they're doing is, like, you know how it's, like, alternate, right? Group A is going to go in one day while group B is remote. Group A one day, group B is remote, and then on. Okay, here it is. Monday, group B, if you're doing hybrid model, Monday, group A is going to be in person, and group B is going to be online. On Tuesday, group A is in person, group B is online. Wednesday, everybody's online. Thursday, group B is in person, group A is online. And Friday, group B is in person, group A is online. So that's how that's going to work.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess they put some thought into this. It looks nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that make you feel more encouraged to try it?
Maybe. Definitely more, yeah. Too. I see it's organized, so definitely more likely to, but we'll see where that goes. Also, here, I like this. If your child is sick and/or his or her temperature is above 100 degrees Fahrenheit, then he or she needs to remain home. I like that. I don't blame kids when they're sick for coming to school because, you know, all the work. But now in these times, no. Just stay home, please. I will stay
mm-hmm.
home. Hey, there was
Do you really think people are going to test their temperature before they go, though?
They're not. No. it's going to be a kid that's going to be sick, but not showing symptoms of being sick. And their parents are like, go to school anyways. I don't need you home trying to make up work and stuff. And then, because this one time, some kid came into school sick. And everybody else got sick. Literally. I got sick the next day. Everybody in my class was sick and coughing. I'm like, oh, my God. So it only takes one person. Just stay home now. It only uh-huh. takes one person. Literally.
Do you like have fears about catching coronavirus? And it's funny, we talk about like corona so much, and I feel like at this point it's like sort of normalized, and like, you know, we're talking about like pros and cons of school and what's working, but like just the virus itself, like that fear of potentially getting it or bringing it, you know, like being a silent carrier or not an asymptomatic carrier, if that's the word. I don't know. Like, does that actually come up that much for you?
No, I'm not scared.
Other people you're talking to?
Nah, me and most of my friends are just like, whatever, we don't care. Like, of course, we're going to, like, do what we got to do to, like, not get it and, like, spread it on. But even if we were to get it, I don't, like, I'd care if I had it. But, like, now I'm not like, scared of it. I'm not like, oh, I hope I don't get corona. I'm just like, I just hope I don't get corona. You know? So, I'm like, it's probably because, like, it's been, like you said, it's been so normalized. So it's like, whatever. Like, I still wear a mask in public and stuff, and we'll do hand sanitizer and wash my hands and all that. But I'm just not scared of getting it. I'm cautious, but I'm not, like, shaking in my boots because, I don't know.
Yeah, I've been listening to the radio where I am right now in Vermont, because they've been doing their a lot of coverage of their school openings too. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they decided to open was because the research was showing like lower rates of it being symptomatic, and you know, less intense symptoms for younger people. So I know that's like kind of the way it's played out.
Mm-hmm.
But still a lot. It's kind of this interesting like storm, you know, kind of storm coming together, where you've got kids going back to school, you've got winter coming, which means like everyone's going to want to be spending more time indoors and less time outside. And then I don't know where New York State is with businesses opening, but like kind of feels like that follows the school opening. So
in the wintertime,
if
a kid gets a cold in the school, so like in the winter time, if a kid gets sick, a lot of other people get sick. So in the winter, in this winter, you know, a lot of kids are gonna get sick regardless, because it's the winter time. You know, people get sick in the winter time, whether it be a cold or not. But like, you can't take that chance, so just like stay home. But like I said, there's gonna be kids who like, oh, I'm not showing that I'm sick, I'm just gonna go in anyways, cause I don't feel like doing more work tomorrow because I was sick. So they're going to go in anyways, hard-headed. If they pass the temperature check in the building, then they're going to pass it, and they're going to go in sick anyways. And then, yeah. But I did hear that the teachers were going to be, like, wiping down handles after every class and before all the desks and stuff. But, like, how long are they really going to keep that up for? They're going to end up getting probably tired of it and just like, oh, I'll just skip wiping down the handles for like a period or two and stuff like that. So I don't know, it just seems a little messy.
I wonder if they did any improvements to the building for ventilation. I know that's actually one of the biggest things that makes a difference, like even doors open with fans. But because the way the virus tends to catch is like you get a group of people in a room together, and one person's got the virus and they're breathing it like that. They're basically slowly creating like a cloud of virus particles that like fills the room. And so that's how, even if you're not 6 feet near that person, over time, if you're in that same room for long enough, it'll travel to you. You'll still have to breathe it. So the best thing like you can do, I've heard, because it's less about surface transfer, touching it and getting it. That can happen, but it's more likely you have that room situation. So like having doors and windows and fans and just like basically keeping that cloud from being able to build up too big is what can keep people most safe.
And they're also giving the students 5-minute mask breaks throughout the day. So I'm curious how that would work, because like, you know, not wearing a mask, kind of like, I'm not saying don't give them a mask break, but I'm saying not wearing a mask kind of like defeats the whole purpose of wearing a mask. Even if it's just 5 minutes, like it only takes a second to spread a disease if it's something like a droplet or a minute. So 5 minutes, you know,
Yeah, that's strange.
Especially in the room. I don't know if they're probably going to be spread out in the hallway for the bathroom break. I doubt the teachers are going to have the students walk outside for 5 minutes and then walk back in because that'll take too long for them or something like that. So it's most likely going to be in the room with their mask down, taking a break or something like that. So
yeah, I'm going to go in the hallway for that.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else is here. Mondays. I don't really see anything else on here about the corona, so that's pretty much it right now. Like I said, it's on the school website if anybody wants to go check it out. I have like another response here that I wanted to look at, and I had agreed with it. It was, I feel like being expected to do school efficiently, regardless of online or in person, when there's so much going on, such as the coronavirus, is kind of hard mentally to find the motivation and pretty draining. Yeah, definitely. Because, yeah, they do expect us to do everything as efficiently as being online or not, especially during corona. So like this person said, I agree with that though. Because like my mental space, headspace is like not the best right now. So yeah, this school is just adding on to that. I mean, it was a part of the problem, the schooling, online schooling. So I don't know. It was, we just got through September. It's October 1st. And we already had all that work going on and stress. So how many more months can we deal with that before students start not like logging in, start not doing any more work, start handing the work late every day, start just be like, no, I'm not even going to do this anymore. Like, how long do we have until that starts happening? Because that's, you know, everything happening now is a little ridiculous.
Yeah, that feels real. You know, it seems like even when you put your best foot forward and really show up with really good intentions, it's still just kind of like makes you feel like it's
yeah, like
it's like the comments like I keep trying, it's just like I can't. It doesn't feel like I can. Yeah, accomplish it. It never feels like enough. That was the comment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I don't know. I mean, this piece too, like recognizing that you are, yeah, like same thing. It's like you are people in the world who are navigating life also. And so it's going to be, yeah, there's other things going on that like just feels, I guess that mentally hard, I don't know, that mental drain.
Yeah.
But
like, our lives are not just school. We have a life outside of school. Like, let's say I'm doing schoolwork. I get out 2:17. My mom needs help with something for, like, 3 hours to do for five. It's 5:17. And then I got to feed my dog and then take a shower or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So by that, it's, like, 6 o'clock. And you're up till 10 doing homework. Like, what? Like, normally what I do is, like, I finish school. I help with whatever needs to be helped with. I do what I gotta do in my personal life because I have one. And then I want time to myself after all that. I don't want to go straight to homework after I'm done like busting my ass all day. Because nobody wants that. It's just not. It's not a good combination. So you don't even start your work until like 11 or 10, and then you're up all night. Or there's even some students who start work right after school and don't get done till 6 o'clock. So I don't think it's fair. Because the workload is definitely not the same as if we were in school. And it's bad when we can recognize that. Like, we've been so used to, like, getting work for all these years. And, like, if we can, like, recognize the work has, like, picked up, then that's bad. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think my mind is just sort of blown that the impression people have is that there's more work than usual. Like, how did they get to that point?
Yeah.
This should at least be the same, but maybe just a little bit. Like, you say, let's do that, but do it really well.
You're breaking up. What did you say?
You know, maybe we could do less, do it really well instead of trying to cram everything in.
Yeah.
Fully.
Exactly. So, oh yeah, like we're always learning a new unit in chemistry every day. So I have to learn. So the first day of school, we had to learn 25 elements. And then the next day, 35, and then we have to know what ionization is, and then the second day we have to know what bonds and all this different stuff that we would normally spend like 2 days on each, just crammed into one. And it's like, what's going on? And that with all the other schoolwork is like driving us crazy. It's like, chill, like, slow down. You guys are like going too fast. You guys are cramming everything together, expecting us to do it in one night. And if we don't, you're just like upset. Like, what? And then you can't just say to like study, because they say like, oh, well, if you can't study for an hour, study for like 5-10 minutes of my class. And like, realistically, that's not going to work. You're a teacher. You've been doing this subject for like 35 years. Yes, you're going to probably need 10 minutes for studying, but we need more time than that because it's a new topic to us. That's like, let me think. I'm trying to make an example. That's like, a constructor saying to study how to build this house that he can build in a month to a new person. And the new person's like, oh, I mean, I need more time to study. Like, I need more than 2 weeks. And the guy's like, nope, just study and you'll be fine at it. Like, that's not how it works. I hope that comparison was okay. It just came out of my head.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, so much of this conversation has been sort of assuming like, you know, the work is something you can understand and it's exhausting to do all the work. Like if you're somebody who like chemistry just looks like reading gibberish, which it like is real for some
That's
people.
That's what I thought at first. It still kind of is, but I'm getting more better at it, but it still kind of is like reading gibberish. Like I'll read the paragraph. I'm like, what did you guys just tell me to do? Like, what are you saying to me? Like, what?
You know, this isn't easy stuff, you know, and that's the other piece. Like, these aren't easy topics. You know, like, how many adults can, like, tell you any of the things that you just rattle off also? Like, I don't, about chemistry, like, nobody. Like, 10% of the people who have jobs that are related. You know, like, I get there are jobs that you need chemistry, but for most people, like, it doesn't make that, and so... It's complicated stuff, and this is where that void of not having in person and being so disconnected from your other peers or your teacher seems really, really like just such a disadvantage. I mean, if you're on your side, you know, you're by yourself, you're trying to research or study, you're reading it, and you get through a paragraph and it just sounds like gibberish. I would also probably put that book down and like flip on Netflix or go blow off steam and like do whatever, because there's a point where like, if you can't, you just can't do it yourself, right? Yeah. Learning, this idea that y'all have the ability to sit at home and learn everything by yourselves kind of like suggests that we never needed schools in the first place, which is, you know, I don't know if that's what they're trying to prove, but if they are, they're failing.
Like I have to know, wait, I'm going to go in order. Okay, buddy. I'm seeing my second period health. I have to know about, well, right now what we're doing are mental illnesses. There's nothing really there we have to do for homework, except for if we, like, miss something, we have to do it. Third period, Algebra 2. I have to remember all of the stuff for Algebra 2 and then go do a lot of homework afterwards. It's like, it don't take that long, but, you know, it's long, especially if you don't know what you're doing or if you have questions and stuff like that. Fourth period, art. I have a project for art like every week that I have to do and learn stuff and also mesmerize a lot of the elements and the principles because, you know, art. And then for like a test or a quiz or something like that, first period, lunch, whatever, you can do whatever you want. Six, U.S. history. I have to remember everything that happened in like the 1800s right now, our constitution and stuff. So you have to remember all of that. Like the person said, it's more mesmerization than learning at this point. It really is. Seven, chemistry, you know, all that good stuff, a lot of homework. You have to remember everything in class, and then, oh, it's so much stuff. And then eight, either gym or lab. and lab is the chemistry lab for me. But if you have a living environment, that'll be living environment lab. Mesmerization lab write-ups, like, pretty much, I think they're going to be every week. English, there's a lot there. We're reading a book and mesmerization for quiz and tests and stuff like that. For chemistry, actually, we've had a quiz every day for the past week, including a little bit of last week. A quiz every day. So if you weren't catching up, like if you weren't like, well, yeah, if you weren't teaching yourself chemistry correctly at home and you didn't know what you were doing, you have a bad grade for that quiz every single day. A quiz grade every day on top of the homework grade. So that's kind of ridiculous. Why are you giving us a quiz every day? What's the point of that?
I feel like there's this idea that it's like they have to intimidate you into showing up for the work. Like, there's a quiz every day. We're going to know if you're not keeping up with your studying. And it's just backfiring.
Yeah.
It's my fear.
They give us the option to stay after and, like, to, like, make it up and earn half your points back. Like, or up to half your points back. But then it's like, like, some kids just be like, half the points. I don't want a 50. I'm just not even going to do it. And they're just, like, discouraged from it.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life have I heard of a quiz every day. Not even in TV shows. What stuff was, like, unrealistic. Literally. Like, what is going on?
It's yeah.
Frustrating.
Have you seen, has anyone, is there any, like, what does it look like? I still can't really wrap my head around, like, what your class is actually feel like or look like for 45 minutes or whatever they are. Are you just listening to a lecture? Are there like basically PowerPoint slides? Some, like, how is like learning happening?
Some classes, like English, she'll have like, you know, like how you can like share a screen on Google Meet.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that and have like slides and talk about it and I guess stuff like that. Sometimes they use some interactive sites, like, so you go on it and you interact with it, like Kahoot or something, or Pyridek. Art, she just talks and shows us examples on the screen, her slides, and then we do the thing. Algebra 2, he has an Elmo, which shows his book on the screen, and he, like, shows us how to do everything. He asks us questions, we unmute ourselves and answer the question, and all that good stuff. History, he just talks about stuff, we have to remember it. What else? What am I missing? Chemistry, same thing, no packet. We go through the stuff we did for homework and stuff like that. And she'll teach us some new stuff here and there. Lab, same thing pretty much. English, she plays a audiobook on YouTube. And we have a PDF of the book on our computers that we can go look on Google Classroom and read along. That's pretty much it. There's like more and stuff like that, but that's pretty much how I can generalize it.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. I appreciate you. Yeah.
It's something that you'd have to, like, experience to, like, really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet you, like, they're saying, oh, you're like, some adults say, like, kids overreact about stuff. I bet you if we got any adult here that lives in the U.S. and sat them, if they sat through what we're going through every day for, like, a month, let's see how they react to it. You do it then.
I agree.
Let's see how you handle it.
Seriously, if you just took like 100 parents, made every parent sit and do what you just did. And the parents probably know better than anybody that it's stupid because they're like, they're now witnessing it all. But like, yeah, you just got like your average person to just have to do this for a day. They would revolt.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the sorts of conditions that like are why there are labor laws, you know, like you can't work more than 8 hours a week on a, or 8 hours a day on a computer screen. Like, these things exist for adults.
That's a thing.
I mean,
we're doing that in school.
Well, I don't know. It depends, but like, there's definitely limits. Like, you're not supposed in the working world, you're supposed to kind of cap out at like 40 hours a week, which is like 8 hours for 5 days. So Monday to Friday for 8 hours. And, like, you know, tons of people do more than that, and other people don't. But the idea, there's sort of an acknowledgement that it gets to be
that makes sense.
It's overworking people.
Yeah.
And this probably translates to schools. I know in, like, research about work, there is like a productivity fall off, right? Where people, like, the amount of productivity you get out of a person for each extra hour of work they do, it starts to fall. Like from hour 3 to 4, it's like, oh, that was great, we got 20 more things done. But when you get from hour 7 to 8, maybe only 3 more things happen because the person's tired.